Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 7th, 2009.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
This week, the genetic basis for fine touch, why poverty can affect your health for your whole lifetime, and new research on stress. But first, Suzanne Bard answers a listener's question.
Listener Melody Hensley of Washington, D.C. wrote to ask why mosquitoes always seem to bite her more than other people. Well, Melody, medical entomologist James Logan of Rothamsted Research in the United Kingdom confirms that your misery has a scientific basis.
There's a lot of anecdotal evidence that some people get bitten more than others by mosquitoes and other biting insects. Everyone knows if you're out in your back garden, there's always somebody, that annoying person that seems to never be bitten. But we've shown scientifically that this does actually happen, and it's all to do with the way you smell, because mosquitoes pick up on chemicals given off by our bodies, chemicals like carbon dioxide and lactic acid, and they find these chemicals attractive. And everybody produces these chemicals naturally. But some people who never get bitten are a bit special. They're producing extra chemicals, and these chemicals are repellent. So the mosquitoes detect them and avoid these people, almost as if they've got a sort of natural inbuilt defense system against mosquitoes.
He and his team recently discovered that people who rarely get bitten produce an excess of acidic chemical compounds called ketones.
There are two key chemicals that we think are involved. One is called 6-methyl-5-heptan-2-one, and the other one is called geranyl acetone. And they seem to have a repellent effect against mosquitoes.
Logan says that being unattractive to mosquitoes likely has a genetic basis.
At the moment, we don't quite know exactly why some people produce these chemicals, although we do think that it's hereditary and that it can be passed on from your parents.
Melody, the good news for those of us who aren't so lucky is that these chemicals are now being developed into a mosquito repellent, which could be available within the next few years.
The repellent chemicals that we identified from people who don't get bitten are actually being commercialized to create a product.
He also notes that a woman's menstrual cycle affects how attractive she is to mosquitoes at any given time, but that his team is still investigating the phenomenon.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, if crystal meth were on the rise in your town, the authorities would want to know. But it's hard to know that until it's painfully obvious. Now, epidemiologist Caleb Banta-Green of the University of Washington's Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute is trying to keep tabs on drug use by testing the local wastewater.
The idea is to extend, the idea of doing a urinalysis of a single person to find out what drugs they've consumed recently, to in fact getting a urinalysis for an entire city.
On a single day last year, Banta-Green's colleagues collected sewage from 96 Oregon towns. His team then tested the samples for traces of meth, coke, and ecstasy. Banta-Green says the resulting map jibed with what they already knew about regional drug use patterns. This year, they're stepping it up by monitoring 20 cities on a weekly basis. Next, many studies have linked economic poverty to poor health for all sorts of underlying reasons. A recent study looked at the issue from a different angle. It asked if poverty in childhood could affect your health as an adult. Justin Warner reports.
Poverty in early childhood may set you up for chronic disease later in life, even if you don't stay poor. This according to University of British Columbia psychologist Greg Miller. He and his colleagues were building on many previous studies that linked low socioeconomic status, or SES, to chronic disease.
And what was unique about our approach is that we used a technology that enabled us to look at a bunch of different genes in white blood cells and how much they were switched on. And by doing that, we were able to get a glimpse into what kind of footprint early life SES leaves on people's white blood cells.
They found that adults who experienced relative poverty in their first 5 years of life had a genetic signature stamped into their white blood cells.
They tend to have their white blood cell gene switched on in a way that's going to promote a mild but ongoing inflammation. So their cells are basically more vigilant for threats that are likely to come their way.
What's more, their white blood cells behaved especially aggressively in lab studies. The results held up regardless of how the subjects' fortunes changed as they got older. Miller says this kind of ongoing low-grade inflammation has been linked to a number of chronic illnesses.
If this process persisted over many years, Our suspicion is that it would make people more vulnerable to things like heart attacks, strokes, some forms of cancer, and some autoimmune diseases.
It's not clear exactly how far into childhood this biologically impressionable period lasts, nor is there a firm answer as to why those early years matter so much. But Miller says disproportionate exposure to germs, pollutants, and psychological stress may leave poor children's bodies permanently hypervigilant.
Thanks, Justin. Scientists have long believed that tiny cells called Merkel cells, located on the fingertips and lips, are responsible for our sense of fine touch.
It's the sense of fine touch that allows you to discriminate shapes and textures. So we only have Merkel cell neurite complexes in those areas of skin that are highly sensitive to shapes or textures. We use it for virtually all aspects of our daily life.
That's neuroscientist Ellen Lumpkin of Baylor College of Medicine.
A musician's ability to find the right key on their instrument, a seamstress's ability to feel the texture of a material, digging in one's purse for your keys.
She and her team recently discovered the gene responsible for Merkel cells. It's called ATO1.
This study really highlights the importance of the gene ATO1 in our ability to sense our body's position in space. So it turns out that ATO1 is expressed in Merkel cells, and if you knock the gene out, Merkel cells never develop.
So without the ATO1 gene, you'd never be able to sense the fine details of your world. Finally today, Suzanne looks into the latest research about stress.
For centuries, people have used pleasant fragrances like lavender to relax. Now, new studies aim to tease out what compounds in the fragrances have the effects and how they work. Scientists in Japan have found that inhaling linalool, the main compound in lavender and citrus, tamps down the action of over 100 genes involved in stress when given to laboratory rats. The scientists say that the research could lead to more targeted therapeutic uses of fragrances for a variety of conditions. In other stress-related research, University of Buffalo scientists report that short episodes of stress may enhance memory in rats. They found that the stress boosts a brain chemical called glutamate that helped the rats learn and remember how to navigate a maze. On the other hand, chronic stress suppressed glutamate and made learning harder.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we've got a great new lineup of science stories for you. Until then, keep current on science news by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a new story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. And if you're stumped by a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you'll win a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.